Dr. Carpenter, thank you so much for allowing us to take over part of your day here for Galesburg in Focus.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Men die younger than women. Why is that?
There's a few key reasons why we find that men have a shorter life expectancy than women. And some of these that contribute to that is that men are less likely to visit the doctor regularly. There's studies that show that over 60% of men avoid even going when they think that there is a problem or something might be wrong. Oftentimes, men sort of downplay symptoms or think that it's just not serious enough, that they don't want to bother anyone about what they're experiencing. And there's also a lot of stigma or fear around diagnosis, especially when it comes to mental health. So it may be that they're afraid to even find out that something's wrong.
And so how do you handle that in your practice? Do you find this? Do you find this in your practice?
I see this quite a bit, especially on the military side, where I've got kind of younger men that, have been trained to feel that they're invincible. And they sort of continue to take on stress, or they'll take on a symptom thinking that they're just going to be able to keep going and going. But I see it in the in my practice in the hospital as well, where someone comes in and we're talking about their diagnosis. And what I always try to tell them is, you know, I don't worry about the problem that I know about. If I know about the problem, then we can come up with a plan. We're going to be able to mitigate that, and we're going to be able to make your symptoms better. If it's something that's serious, we're going to come up with a treatment plan, and we're going to optimize this the best that we can.
Yeah.
It's the problem that we don't know about that's kind of smoldering and getting worse on us that we're not intervening in at an early time.
What are some of those? What are the big ones to watch out for as far as those health risks that men face?
Yep. So the big four that I think that we need to be thinking about is heart disease. It's the number one cause of death among men. Two, cancers. It's rising in the U.S. In men, we especially think about prostate, lung, and colorectal cancer, which is showing up younger and younger. Diabetes is one that sometimes we may catch this one, but we don't put the focus on it that we need. And diabetes is one that if we can control it, we really don't see the downstream effects. But when it goes unchecked or unmanaged, you really see major effects down the road, to include heart attacks, strokes, and amputations. The fourth big one is the mental health challenges. And this one is one where a lot of times people are just afraid to ask for help, or they think that it's a sign of weakness, when in reality, the mind is very complex. And sometimes asking for help will help you process that thing that you're really working on, and can lead to major gains and improvements in mental health.
Yeah. And I've seen that healthcare has really made a push toward focusing on the patient's mental health. I see those signs in the doctor's office that says, are you depressed? Are you feeling this? And many some of the questions that you're asked before you go into an appointment include, have you been recently feeling depressed? Do you feel this? Are you struggling in some area? Do you find that's been a change over the last few years?
Absolutely. And what we're finding is that it's you can't treat one without the other.
Yeah.
So when you've got some mental health issues, that is going to reverberate throughout your physical health in ways that we are just now starting to understand. In my hospital practice, one of the things that's really unique that you wouldn't think about is that length of stay is actually longer with unchecked behavioral health issues by 33%. You're 2 to 3 times more likely to be readmitted for a health issue if we don't have the mental health part in check. And so it really is pivotal for our physical health to get our mental health in check as well.
Yeah, wonderful. Dr. Carpenter is the Managing Medical Director here at OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. And I'd like to step back and talk about you. You're from this area, right?
I am, yep. I was born at St. Mary's, where I'm currently working. Always said I'd never come home, and look what happened.
Right, right. And did you always want to get into healthcare, and did you always want to be a doctor?
I actually didn't. So when I initially left for school, I started pre-law and sort of fell in love through a track where I was coming home, and my mom was a teacher in the area with special ed, and I would aid in her classroom, and I felt such a sense of enjoyment of helping other people. And as I was studying about law, I didn't have that same sense of enjoyment. And so I sort of made a switch and got my EMT license, really fell in love with medicine doing that, and continued studying all the way through med school.
I'll be darned. So, yeah. So what is your specialty? What do you have a specialty? Do you?
Yep. So yeah. I sort of have a couple. So I'm board certified in family medicine. Okay. I work at St. Mary's as a hospitalist, and I'm also a flight surgeon for the Air National Guard, the U.S. Air Force.
Oh my gosh! How long were you in the Air Force? Are you still in the Air Force?
Yeah. So I've got I'll be celebrating 26 years in August.
Wow.
I'm a flight surgeon for them and work as chief of aerospace medicine over at the 182nd in Peoria.
Oh my gosh! Well, thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Tell me about what does a flight surgeon do?
Sure. So flight surgery is kind of a unique position. There really isn't a civilian equivalent. So as a flight surgeon, I'm flight crew. So I go and I fly with my flight crew. And I sort of serve multiple different functions within one role. One, I'm able to take care of people and do like medical evacs. I'm trained to do occupational type medicine where if, say, someone has an illness, I'm specially trained to understand how that's going to affect them in maybe an austere environment or if they're going up to altitude. And then I also, there's a component of it that's just primary care where they're bringing me along if we're going deployment. If we're moving the squadron somewhere, I'm going to be the doc that takes care of them. So there are situations where you may be the only doc on the continent for when we're supporting things like Antarctica.
Oh, my gosh. You've been in combat situations? Is that... have you had that experience?
Yep. So I've got a couple of combat deployments to the Middle East.
Wow.
And it's great because I get to go. When I go, it's kind of a different view for how you see a doc. But when I go, I'm living with the crews that I'm taking care of, and so we're all family. So I'm flying with them, and I've put my life in their hands, and then they come back, and if there's something wrong, they're putting theirs in mine, wow. And it makes for really good brotherhood.
Extremely stressful situation, though. It's much different than being at a ER here at OSF. not many people get to experience that kind of a situation.
It is. I may be uniquely qualified to talk about men and their ability to sort of kind of look past some of that stuff, because honestly, as I'm sitting here with you, I would tell you that it didn't feel that stressful.
Okay.
So, and that's one of those things that, yes, I recognize that it's a stressful event that's going on, and it's not sort of a normal event, but our mind has a really good way of acclimating to what we're going through, and so we may not even realize that there's something going on that you may need to process.
Mm. Dr. Josh Carpenter is managing medical director here. It's so interesting, and his military experience as you said, very uniquely qualified to be talking about Men's Health Month here for the month of June. Let's get back to why so many men avoid going to the doctor. You mentioned that weakness, that feeling of weakness, and when you talk about men in the military, you can't show weakness. You have to push through into pretty challenging situations.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the kind of underlying thoughts. You know, as I look back at my training through the military, we go through things like SEER. I've also had the privilege of taking care of some special forces guys with our JTACs and our air control parties over in the 182nd. And you're trained to be able to sort of set aside anything that's going on to get the mission done. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's phenomenal training, and I think that that's important. But the work that I do with them after they come home is we're not in that mode anymore. And there is a time to stop and process. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think the same is true no matter what stressors you're going through. It doesn't have to be combat related. And our mind is really good at tricking us into thinking that we're fine. But some of those underlying issues can come out. Sometimes they manifest physically, but it has its way of showing in ways that we don't even recognize, because our mind can sort of trick us into thinking that we're okay.
Yeah, I bring up you're talking about this. It makes me think of things like PTSD.
Yep.
And of course, shell shock, and however they've called it over the
yep.
decades, and when people who have experienced extreme mental challenges during battle, Do you see that happening with not just younger soldiers, but you know, people that are veterans from past wars still hanging on to that?
Absolutely. The good news in this field is that we've really come a long way in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So after 20 years of conflict and some improvements being made in the mental health realm anyway, we've done a much better job of kind of recognizing some of this. I think some of the stigma, though, and some of the guys that I work with through the base, there can be, you don't necessarily have to have that combat trauma for you to have a post-traumatic disorder. Mm. And one of the cases that comes to mind as I'm talking about this is I knew a guy that he was in charge of determining what equipment goes on a helicopter to go out to an FOB, to a forward operating base.
Okay.
And he had an option of going and rescuing a child, or he had an option of getting much needed supplies to a force that was locked in a firefight.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
He had to make that decision, and he knew what the right decision was that he really had to make.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came home, he then struggled with his own interpersonal relationship with his children because he had to make the decision to support the fighters on the ground. Mm-hmm. Now, he never knew what the outcome was with either of the two situations.
Yeah.
But it took him some counseling to kind of process that, to realize, hey, listen, you were choosing between two evils. Once he was able to process that, he was able to kind of move on and build that relationship with his own children. But that was a very unique way where you don't even have to be involved in the firefight to understand the stress that the mind goes under in making some of these decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Josh Carpenter from OSF Healthcare, St. Mary Medical Center. June is Men's Health Month. We're trying to raise awareness about health issues, mental health issues, and how men are a lot, very silent about a lot of these things. There certainly need to be screenings that men should be having. What are some of the most important screenings that men should be doing and thinking of?
Yep. So young men, like what I'd be seeing out at the base, we focus mostly on blood pressure, cholesterol,
okay,
and their body mass index, mm-hmm, which essentially comes back to their weight.
Mm-hmm.
As we're getting older into our 40s, we start worrying about colon cancer screenings. We're now seeing those are showing up in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And so those have started at 45. Mm-hmm. As we're getting into our 50s, now we start worrying a little bit more about prostate screening, and that can be done with a simple blood test.
Right.
Those are the things that we.
Well, there's probably, you know, there's so much stigma to those two tests, the colonoscopy, the prostate screenings. You got these nightmares of oh, great, I got to go to the doctor. I don't want to do this. So they just don't do it.
Yeah, right.
Because they're like, I don't want to do it because I hear these, you know, I know what they have to do.
Yep.
You're right. Now it's a blood test for.
It, so, for, yeah, for a PSA, that's a simple blood test. If you're worried about things going out instead of or coming
going
in instead of going out,
yeah, right.
Then there is something called a Cologuard these days,
yeah,
where
right,
you can do a screen with that. If it is positive, yeah, then obviously you're going to want to follow that up by taking a look.
But you know, it's kind of ironic here that the guys are trying to be tough and all that, and they're scared of a very short interaction there. A test that could save your life.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And the earlier that you catch it, the less that you're going to have a problem with either a life-threatening condition,
yeah,
or even a comorbidity from, yeah, from the treatment.
So there's no matter what age you are, there are some simple things that you can do to start to improve your health. What are some of those that you would recommend?
You know, the big thing is probably all the things that your mother or grandmother were telling you. And it really is kind of basic lifestyle medicine. The big thing is move more.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get into a gym and be working out at the YMCA every day, although I think that's great. And certainly if you do some strength training, that's going to benefit you for years to come. But simply walking 30 minutes a day, and you can break that up to however that works in your day. If it's 3 10-minute walks, whatever works, has a big impact on people's health. And I always tell my patients in the hospital, mobility equals your mortality.
Mm.
If you're not moving, you're at risk.
You know, Dr. Carpenter, I see that in my own family. My parents died very young, and my mother had retired when she was 56 and passed away at 66. Mm-hmm. My dad retired kind of early, and they stopped moving. Mm-hmm. And so when I see people that I grew up with and their parents are very active, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, late 70s, early 80s, I'm always praising them for that. I'm like, man, you are so lucky that your parents are so active.
Yep.
And it's a lot of it is because they are moving.
Oh, it makes such a difference. You can't overstate
that. You mentioned that strength training too. It's not so much about, I mean, cardio is important, but boy, that strength training is even more important.
It really is, especially as we age. Mm-hmm. They've shown that strength training can really help keep you sort of upright.
Yeah.
And so as you're decreasing your risk of falls, you're improving your bone health, you're not running into some of the issues that we see with like hip fractures and some of those things that we know definitely shorten your lifespan.
Dr. Josh Carpenter is from OSF Healthcare St. Mary Medical Center. And we're talking about June as Men's Health Month, and we're pretty appropriate since Father's Day is this weekend. And we're honoring dads. Another way that you can honor your dad is encourage him to, and grandpa, uncle, father figure in your life, encourage them to stay on top of their health, right? What are some things that we can do as the kids and loved ones of our dads to help them?
Yeah, so, you know, definitely make sure that if you're seeing something that's out of place with them, if you've noticed that there's something that's changed, maybe some gentle advice to go seek some help or go get checked out. Definitely checking in with them on just kind of the simple things. What are they eating? Are they getting the food that they need? Are they eating whole foods, or are they really reliant on processed foods that are more microwave meals and those sorts of things? That makes a huge impact on our health. And sleep. It's something that no one ever talks about. It plagues a lot of us. Yeah. But it's definitely a focus. And when you look at things like Alzheimer's as we're getting older, we were talking about how, you know, our parents are aging, or your parents weren't moving. These things really do contribute to the rise in the Alzheimer's. And that's if we can do the lifestyle things now, we've got many more productive years ahead of us.
Well, then, of course, you know, encouraging dad or grandpa to quit smoking.
Yep.
But I've been smoking for decades since I was a kid. It's not going to, you know, not going to make any difference now. That's not true.
No. When you stop, we actually see that there's improvement in lung volumes and lung function within weeks. It's true. There's some damage that's done that's not going to be reversed. But there's a lot of good that can happen. And the body is really good at healing itself. Yeah. So there is definitely advantages to stopping.
And, you know, reducing your alcohol intake too, drinking. That's
always in moderation. Yeah. You know, I can tell you with the air crew that the number one question that I get is, so tell me about alcohol and my health long term. And the answer really is none is probably best.
Yeah.
Moderation is okay as well from the studies that we're seeing. But we do know that over drinking, that especially if it's regular, but binge drinking, there's a lot of health effects with that that really should be front of mind, and we should try to avoid that. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Josh Carpenter is from OSF Healthcare, St. Mary Medical Center. It's a tough conversation to have when you start to notice things going on with dad or grandpa, especially when we're talking about dementia and their mental health. Mm-hmm. How do you approach that conversation when they don't think that there's anything wrong?
Yeah, that's usually the hardest one. And, you know, it's going to be different in every circumstance. And some of it's going to be reading your own family as to what the next step is. Sometimes coming along to a doctor's visit, if you can get a doctor's visit, and broaching the subject with the doc and kind of let the doctor take over and say, well, here's what we can do to kind of look at this. It doesn't mean that anything's really, really wrong or that we have to take anything away, but let's look and let's just get a snapshot. And maybe we'll do a test today to see, you know, maybe there is a little bit of cognitive decline and that gives us something to watch, or maybe it's time to start a medicine for that. Doesn't necessarily mean that there's something really bad that has to happen today, but sometimes letting the healthcare provider kind of help you along with that can be beneficial.
Well, again, I think that goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that off mic, you know, it's one thing for me to say it to my parents. Mm-hmm. It's another thing for the doctor that they really listen. They'll listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I can say the exact same thing, but when doctor says it, oh boy.
Well, and that's, you know, that's
a lot
the thing
more
is,
weight to it.
Well, right now we don't have that slam dunk test for things like Alzheimer's,
yeah.
but we do have some tools that can help us with understanding exactly where we're at, and sometimes just being able to quantify that can get you a long way with a patient.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may be what they're looking for.
And when we're talking about men's mental health, you know, when they start to realize that they're not able to do the things that they used to do, they're becoming more forgetful. I remember when I had to take the car keys from my dad. He couldn't drive anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember that day like it was yesterday. That is a lot for a guy to take. He's been driving for 60 years, and suddenly his kid is telling him that he can't drive anymore. That's a blow to your mental health right there.
It really is. And, you know, sometimes mental health can sort of be one of those bimodal things where we see a lot of issues with the youth. And then, you know, sometimes people kind of get to their 40s or 50s and they're sort of at the height. And you don't see quite the problems because people have settled most of those problems. And then as we're aging, we're kind of dealing with our own mortality and our declining function. One of the things that you can do to combat that, though, is look to the community and see what there is. Even though it may look different, there are still a lot of things that are out there within the community, whether it be like day camps or some of the other things that are available, so that they're still staying social. They're still having a function every day. Because really, I think having that purpose on a daily basis really helps combat a lot of that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we could talk for hours and hours about senior mental health, especially for men who've maybe lost their wife,
mm-hmm.
and they could be alone for months, years, decades.
Absolutely.
Even. And then you see severe physical health decline along with the mental health, just the loneliness alone, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the biggest things as we see people as they're aging is that they really, they lose some friends or they lose some mobility, you know, and it may be as simple as just setting up phone calls and talking with siblings. You know what I mean? Like you set a network up and have a different day for someone to call and just check in with mom or dad, you know, and it can really make a big difference.
And, you know, employers can play a huge role in men's health, right?
They can, and actually they already might be.
Yeah.
And it's something for, I think, everyone to check into, is check into the insurance that you're getting through your employer. See if there's wellness screenings. See if they're offering discounts if you're doing certain things.
Yeah.
See if they will pay for some of these devices that people may be using, like an Oura Ring or a Apple Watch, where you can track some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these things are already built into their programs, but they're sort of in the fine print. And I can tell you, even as a doc, I don't understand insurance. In fact,
right.
I think I understand it less now than I did 10 years ago.
Sure, sure, sure. But it doesn't hurt to ask. You're right. To find out. And there are some organizations, you mentioned communities, so many organizations here in the area to help you find the, you know, information and maybe plug into some of these services and
absolutely
opportunities.
I've even heard of some insurances paying people to lose weight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going through that right now, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you mentioned the diabetes thing, it's they make it really easy to want to lose. And an incentive there, too, especially if you're trying to get life insurance or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely,
you know, the better your health is, the cheaper your insurance is going to be. You know,
absolutely. You can save a lot of money.
That's right. Dr. Josh Carpenter from OSF Healthcare, St. Mary Medical Center, talking about June as Men's Health Month. You've given us a lot to think about, a lot of takeaways here. But I think one of those, as we wrap it up here, don't wait for a health scare to take action. I wrote that, you know, we wrote that down here. That is so important. Any other final thoughts for you?
The big thing is, one, stay active. Do the things that you know you should be doing. And if you're confused as to what that is, my resource for you would be check in with the American Board of Lifestyle Medicine. They've got great, great, simple recommendations for maintaining health. And the other big take home is, when we find this stuff early, it usually isn't a big deal. So, like, for instance, colon cancer, you find that as a polyp, and that's done the same day as your colonoscopy.
Yeah.
If you find that as a big tumor, that may be a diverting colostomy that's going to be multiple surgeries, and we've got to remove colon.
Yeah.
And it's the difference in that is just so drastic.
Mm. So take care of it right now. Be proactive.
Yep. Be proactive.
Yeah. Be strong.
Yes. Yes. Right. It's showing strength. Strength for you and your family.
Ah, wonderful. Dr. Carpenter, thank you so much to you and your mission partners here at OSF for everything you do. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you.